things, what could heal these ailments. The last thing we saw yesterday was that the Gemara taught us that the eye has an impact on the heart. And so, therefore, if a person's eye is popping out of its socket, on Shabbos, one would be allowed to apply the blue eyeliner, even though normally applying the blue eyeliner is not allowed on Shabbos, one would be allowed to do so to heal the heart, because to heal the eye, because that's healing the heart. So we are there, about five lines before the very end on Chaf Ches Amid Beis. So the Gemara now asks, Kagon Mai, what are the examples of eye issues that you could desecrate Shabbos to heal? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Kagon Rira, that would be like if the eye is always, secreting some mucus, or ditza, or he feels in the eye some stabbing pain. Dama, blood in the eye. Dima, an eye that's always secreting tears. Kidcha, heat in the eye. And tchilas uchla. Now all of this is talking about at the beginning of the illness. Lafuke sof uchla, to exclude if he's already basically healed, and it's the end of the illness, then you can't do anything on Shabbos. And to exclude pitzuche eina, someone who just wants to improve his eyesight, that he can't do anything on Shabbos for, to lo that not.
So makeup is not allowed.
Makeup is certainly not allowed, yes. Amar Rav Yehuda. Now talking about some more illnesses. Rav Yehuda said, Zibura, a hornet, I guess a hornet that bites. Udecharzei. Udecharzei silva, somebody who has a thorn in his flesh. Or simta, somebody who has all sorts of blisters. Udechayev le'ena, or his eye is hurting him. Udeasi leve ishte, or he's somebody who has a very high fever. Kulu, for all of these people, beibani sakanta, to go into the bathhouse would add to the danger, so one couldn't go into the bathhouse. So what can you do to heal these things? So for these things, for a hornet's bite, for a thorn, or blisters, what you could do is chama l'chama, the hot food would be good for the illnesses of heat. In other words, a radish would be good for the illnesses of heat. The silka letzina and beets would be good for illnesses of chills, of being too cold. The chilufa sakanta, if somebody has chills, he's too cold, and you gave him beets, the opposite. If somebody was chilled and you gave him a radish, it would actually increase the danger. Similarly, chamimi la'akrava, if somebody was bitten by a scorpion, he should soak it in hot water. Ukrivili zibura, and someone who is bitten by a hornet, he should soak the area of the bite in cold water. The chilufa sakanta, if it's the opposite, it'll be a danger. Chamimi lesilva, somebody who had a thorn go into his body, he should soak it in hot water. Ukriri lechaspinta, and somebody who has all sorts of cuts on his face, he should wash his face with cold water. Vechilufa sakanta, and if a person uses cold water for a thorn, or he uses hot water for the problems on his face, it would be a danger.
So to soak, you could soak in like hot water and salt or something like this? You could do that in Shabbos?
Well, there is, if you... It's not clear that any of the medications of the Gemara are still effective. The Rambam says that our bodies have changed and no one should try to use these medicinal approaches. It couldn't possibly work nowadays. So If it's not effective, then you can't do it on Shabbos, for sure. This is in those days when they believed that it was effective.
Oh, so, but then, when it was effective, it was only because it was sort of threatening.
Yeah, and it's not clear that we're talking about Shabbos anymore. Now we're just talking about in general. These illnesses should be held, you know, healed with these approaches, and why talk about these illnesses with these approaches here? Because we mentioned that it's dangerous to go to a Roman idolater as a doctor, so the Gemara uses that as an excuse to talk about illnesses and how to heal them, you know, issues. So now, chala l'siburi. If a person has let out blood, it's helpful to use vinegar. Ubonino l'tanisa, and to eat small fish, it's good for someone who is fasting. V'chilufa sakanta, the opposite, would be a danger. If somebody who let out vinegar, let out blood, would eat fish, that would put him in danger. Or if somebody who is fasting is going to drink vinegar, that would put him into danger. Tzchale v'sibura sakanta, a person who eats cress, and then he also lets out blood, that's a danger. Ishta v'sibura sakanta, if somebody has a very high fever and he lets out blood, that would be a danger. Kiv'ena v'sibura sakanta, someone whose eyes are hurting him and he lets out blood, that would be a danger. Sheni l'dag dam, a person who wants to let out blood should eat fish, and the next day, the second day after he ate the fish, he should let out the blood. Sheni l'dam dag, and if he let out blood, then the next day he should eat the fish. Shlishi lo sakanta, if it's on the third day that he eats the fish, that would bring him to danger. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Hamakas dam, somebody who lets out blood. Remember, in those days, that was a major healing process. So lo yochol chashbash, chagbash. He shouldn't eat chagbash. What's chagbash? Lo chalav, he shouldn't eat milk. Velo gvina, nor cheese. Velo betzalim, nor onions. Velo shachlayim, nor cress, because these things, after letting out blood, create danger. Im achal, if he let out blood and then he did eat these things, what should he do? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, nicely reviyasa dechala, he should bring a quarter of a log of vinegar, or viyasa dechamra, and another quarter of a log of wine. When arbevinu bahadi adadi, he should mix the wine and the vinegar together, v'nishten, he should drink it. V'chimafnad, when a person who... when he goes to the bathroom, let's say this person who ate, who let out blood and then he ate the milk or cheese and onions or cress. So when he goes to the bathroom, lo mafnal mizracha shel ir, he should only go to the bathroom to the east of the city, mishum dekasha recha, because the smell of these things is very disgusting. And if he goes to the bathroom near the city, the wind will bring the smell to the city. But the eastern wind is a weak wind, so it's not going to bring the smell to the city, and therefore he can go to the bathroom to the east. So now the Gemara continues to talk about different medicinal issues. Now we go back to Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Mal in unkeli b'Shabbos. An unkeli can be raised on Shabbos, because apparently it's a danger to life. So my unkli, what is this unkli? What part of the body is called unkli that you can, you know, deal with it on Shabbos? Amar Rab Abba said, istumcha deliba. So it's istumcha deliba. It's something in the lungs.
Head shows the ribs.
It's in the heart.
Near the heart.
Near the heart. Near to the
ribs. So they say it's
sometimes
the...
bends inwards.
Edge of the right, exactly. Edge of the ribs near the heart, which sometimes bends inwards. So if it's something to do with the with like the cover on top of the windpipe that when you're eating. There's a cover on top of your windpipe. And then when you are talking, there's a cover on top of your food pipe. So if there's some problem with that cover, so that's a danger to life, and you could heal it on Shabbos. Maya Sutta, what would you do to heal this problem of istumcha deliba, we're translating as the edge of the ribs? So what you do is like this. Maisi kmon karvaya. You bring cumin, karvaya, caraway, ninya, mint, agadita, wormwood, tsetre, that they translate as saturia, and avadita, and hyssop. And you bring it all together, and you grind them all down. So now what do? The liba, to heal the edge of the rib, you drink these things. Bechamra, you drink them in wine. The simanach, and a way to remember that the wine is going to help the heart, is v'yayin yisamach levavenosh. The pasuk says in Tehillim, and wine will make a heart happy. The rucha, and if it's to heal, rucha.
Can't breathe.
So if you can't breathe, right. So I guess the pneumonia because of it. Then b'maya, drink it in water. The simanach, and a way to remember is v'ruach elokim rachefes al pnei amayim. The Spirit of God is over the water. Now, lakuda, to heal a woman who has chills when she's trying to give birth. So she should take the same potion of caraway and cumin and mint and wormwood and hyssop and saturia and drink it b'shichra in beer. The simanach, and a way to remember that beer can be connected to woman, a way to remember this is the pasuk v'chadal shichma, that Rivka came out with her pitcher on her thigh.
Beer.
Okay, Rav Acha Breda, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Shachik Lulukulu Badi Adadi. He used to grind all these spices with each other. The Shakalei Melo Chamesh Atzbah, saying he would take enough to fill his five fingers and put it into the various liquids, the water, the beer, or the wine. The Shasi, then he would drink it. Rav Ashi Shachik Kolchad Chad L'chudei, he used to grind each one by itself. The Shakim Ulo Atzbase Rabasi, and he was to he would take what he could fill only in the big fingers, in other words, in his thumb and in his pinky. Ulo Atzbase Zuchasi, enough to fill his thumb and enough to fill his pinky and put it into the water, the beer, or the wine, and then drink it. Amar Rav Papa said, I'm not Avdi L'chol Hani V'lo Yitzai. I did all these different things, the caraway and the wormwood, with the beer, with the wine, with the water, it never healed me. Adam li ahutaya, then there was this Arab merchant who told me, I see kuza chadito mal yamaya, bring a new utensil, fill it with water, v'rami bey tarvada de duvsha de tali le bey kuvi, and throw in it a full palm full of honey, which has been hanging out under the stars. In other words, it spent the night in the courtyard under the stars. Ulamachar ishti, the next day drink it. Avdi yachi, once I put the honey that was under the stars, vitzai, then I was healed. Okay, some more things about healing. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, shisha dvarim, there are six food items that merapin is achola micholyo, they heal a sick person from his illness, or refuas and refuah, and it's a total healing. He doesn't need anything else afterwards. Eluhain, these are the six great foods. Kruv, cabbage, trudin, beets. Then you have maysisin, water that had dried chamomile in it, maysisin yevesha. Kevas, then the stomach of an animal, the heres, the womb of an animal, and the oseres hakaved, the lobe on top of the liver. The yeshomim, and some say, afdagim ktanim, small fish are very, very medicinal. The lobe, and not only that, elishadagim ktanim, when you eat small fish, mafrin umarbin, they're going to increase the semen, and they'll increase the sperm count in the seed. And therefore they help kol gufo shel adam. They help the entire body of a person. They make it all healthy. Asara dvarim, but there are 10 food things that machzirin asachol l'cholyo, that they're so bad, they make a person sick again. If he was sick and he got better, when he eats these things, he becomes sick again. The second illness will be worse than the first. These are those. Ha'ochel basar shor, a person who eats the meat of an ox. Shuman, a person who eats the fat of animals. That's kosher fat, that is. Basar tzli, roasted meat. Basar tziparim, the meat of birds. Beitza tzluya, a person who eats a roasted egg. Vishachlayim, and cress. Vitzaglachas, and somebody who takes, shaves his whole face, his head. Umerchats, and somebody who goes into the bathhouse. Ugvina, and cheese. Vikaved, and liver. Yeshom, and some say, afegozim, walnuts. Yeshua, and some say, Af Kishuin, even cucumbers bring an illness back. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Lama Nikra Shman Kishuin, why are cucumbers called Kishuin? Mipnei Shein Kashin L'chol Gufo Shel Adam Kacharavos, they are as hard as to a person's body like swords. Then the Mishnah says, Vein Nistap Mehen V'chol Makom. Going back to the issues of the non-Jews. We suspect the worst about the Roman idolaters. So therefore, the Mishnah said that a woman can't be alone with them because maybe they will have marital relations with her. The Mishnah said that a man can't be alone. Maybe they'll kill him. And you can't use one of them as a barber because he's using a knife. He might cut the neck. So we learned an argument about the haircuts. One opinion was the opinion of Rabbi Meir, you can't get a haircut from them anywhere, even in the public markets, because they will kill there too. And the sages say in the public market you can get a haircut because, they're not going to go commit murder in public. That would endanger them. That would, ruin their own reputation. So there it's okay. If a Jew wants to get a haircut from a non-Jew, we can do it. If he's watching in the mirror while the non-Jew is cutting the hair, then he can make sure that the non-Jew is not killing him. Now, what happens if you have a non-Jew? Now, they used to grow ponytails for their idolatry. So, who's growing this ponytail? So, the non-Jew, Hamastapim Yisrael, who's getting the haircut from a Jew, once the Jew has arrived to that ponytail, which the non-Jew is going to leave for the idol, so Shomer Nesiado, he can't fix that up. He has to pull his hand away. We're going to see in the Gemara, it's going to say he has to pull his hand away when he's three etzbos away, when he's three fingers away from the ponytail. So Amar Mar, we just learned, Yisrael, a Jew who wants to get a haircut from a non-Jew, he can do it as long as Roa Bamira, as long as he's watching in the mirror. So the Gemara asks, but where is it? If he's in a public domain, so the Chachamim say you're allowed to get haircuts in public domains from the non-Jewish barbers. Lamali mirror, what does he need a mirror for? If he's in a private domain, how's it going to help him that he's looking in the mirror? The non-Jew is going to kill him. And there aren't people there to catch the non-Jew. Gemara says, we're talking about a private domain. If he's watching himself in a mirror, then then he looks like he's a very prominent person. Because a prominent person really cares about how he looks. He's trying to look the best. So then the barber gets a little scared. He's a prominent guy. I can't go kill him because he's going to have, powerful friends supporting him. He'll have the government supporting him. So that's the way then you could get a haircut from the non-Jew. Okay, Reb Chana Bar Bizna have a mastapim rovi kochav mishvili naharda. So Reb Chana Bar Bizna once got a haircut, used to get haircuts from this non-Jewish barber, on the paths of Naharda. They were out of the city. So the barber said, China china, yoi kuach lezuga. Your neck is great to cut it with my scissors. I wish I could cut your neck. So Amar, he said, Tasili da aviad Reb Meir. I deserve this. May this fear that I just had now be the atonement for my violating the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you can't get a haircut from a non-Jew anywhere, even in public, and I'm getting a haircut, so I deserve this punishment. That's why I was so frightened by what this guy said. So asks the Gemara, one second, the Rabbanan lo avar, it's violating the Rabbanan, because he's not in the street, he's on Shvili Dina Harda. So the Gemara says, no. So Eimer Dama Rabbanan, because when did the Rabbanan say, after all, the Gemara says, when did the Rabbanan say you can get a haircut from the non-Jew? Rishus Rabban, the public street. Rishus Hayachan Yamar, in a private street, would they ever, in a private area, would they ever say that? He's out in the Shvili Dina Harda. Who and Rav Chana will tell you, Savar, he felt Shvili Din Arda, the pass of Narda, outside of the city, came with the Shchichi Rabbim, since it's a place where there are lots of people around, Kirshus HaRabim Dam, that's like a public domain. And since it's like a public domain, therefore, there is no, there would be no prohibition, according to the Chachamim, but according to Meir, it's wrong, and he then felt bad that his life was endangered and he should have realized that he should never have done this. Then going back to the Brisa said, Ovi kochav mastap mi Yisrael. If a non-Jew is getting a haircut from a Jew, so kevin shegiya livlo riso, when the Jew gets close to the ponytail, which the non-Jews, you know, remember there was that whole thing with the, in India, they discovered that the, a lot of the hairs from certain wigs was coming from some temple in India where the women would come and they would cut off their hair. So it was an old idolatrous practice to cut off hair for idolatry. Now we're going to see in today's daf, the Tekrovas Avodah Zarah, offerings to the idols, we can't get any benefit from them at all. So a guy who's a barber and he has a Gentile customer who wants to have a nice ponytail so that he can then go and cut it off for the idol, so he has a problem. So, Ovi Kochav, Mistat in Yisrael, if there's a Jewish barber giving a haircut to the non-Jew, Kevin Shigil of Loriso, when the barber gets close to the ponytail, Shomer Esiyadu, he has to pull himself away. Kama, how close? Amar of Malkia, Amar of Adabarahava, Shalosha Etzbos. If he's three fingers away from the ponytail, Lekol Ruach, to any direction, that's already too close, and we can't be fixing up the ponytail, because they're then going to shave it off for their idols, it'll be helping them in their service. So then he has to pull his hand away. So we mentioned here, Rav Malkiya, in the name of Rav Ada Barahava. So there were some lessons from Rav Malkiya, and there were other lessons from Rav Malkiyo. One with a hey, one with a vav. Now hey at the end of a word normally makes it feminine, a vav at the end of a word would make it masculine in the possessive form. So I'm Rav Chanina Breid Rav Yika. Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Yika, said like this. Shapud, there's a Gemara in Masechet Beitza, that if you have a piece of metal, a metal spit, that you use to roast meat on Yom Tov, and it becomes very disgusting as a result, it's muktzah. So with a muktzah item, you're still allowed to drag it with your foot or indirectly to get it into a corner. So that halacha. The halacha that if a woman brings lots of maids, her husband can still force her to do some housework so that she not be sitting around doing nothing, which could lead to znus. Or gumos, the law that a young lady, when she's 12 and a day, if she has two holes where there should be hairs, even though the hairs haven't come in, she's already considered an adult. So these three laws were said by Rav Malkiyo in the name of Rav Ada Barahava. But Bloris, the law that we just saw, that three fingers away from the ponytail, the barber needs to stop, the Jewish barber, when working on the Roman. The Efer Mikla, and the law that ashes from a pot, you can't put it on a wound to heal because it looks like a tattoo, ugvina, and the law that we're not allowed to eat the cheeses of the Gentiles because they would often put pig fat on top of the cheese, that's not from Rav Malkiyo, that was from Rav Malkiya, in the name of Rav Ada Barahava. Amar Rav Papa said, not like what we just said, but rather, masnisen umasnisa. You know, laws that were related in regards to a Mishnah or a Brisa, so that's the law of a woman who has many maids that she brings into a marriage, this law about the ponytail, the law about the cheese of the non-Jews, that was from Rav Malkiya. And laws that are shmaitza, laws that were set on their own, not as part of a Mishnah or a Braisa, or explaining a Mishnah and a Braisa, that was Rav Malkiyo. The Siman, a way to remember it is Masnisa, when you have a Braisa, so the word for Braisa, Masnisa, sounds feminine, that's like Malkasa, it sounds like Malkiya, which sounds feminine like the queen. So now, my Binai, what's the difference between Rav Chanina's version of which laws were from Rav Malkiyo and the version of Rav Papa? The difference between them is who said the halacha about a married woman who brings in many maids. According to Rav Chanina, it's Rav Malkiyo. According to Rav Papa, it's Rav Malkiya. And another difference would be the law about ashes on a wound, that according to Rav Chanina, that's from Rav Malkiya, and according to Rav Papa, it's from Rav Malkiyo. Okay, now we're turning to Chaf Testament Days. We have a very exciting topic, a very, very practical topic of halacha, the topic of wine handled by a non-Jew. Says the Mishnah, Elu dvarim shalov de kochavim, these items of non-Jews that worship idols, asurin, they are prohibited to the Jews, the isuran isur hana. And the prohibition is a prohibition not even to get any benefit from it. Number one, a yayin. Wine from a non-Jew. If you get the wine of a non-Jew, you don't know that he used it for idolatry, but it's wine from his home. So, whatever wine he has, you have to assume that he was probably pouring it to his idol, and therefore you can't get any benefit from it. Vachometz shel ovdei kochavim. Or vinegar of a non-Jew, shayim itchilas soyayin, that in the hands of the non-Jew it was wine, and now it's turned into vinegar. So the fact that he had it as wine, we assume he used it as a libation, as something to pour in front of an idol, now it turned into vinegar, it's still prohibited. Another thing that's totally prohibited, cheres hadriyani. This is some type of an earthenware vessel. How do they translate it, cheres hadriyani? Hadrianic earthenware, I guess from the emperor Hadrian. So there's some type of an earthenware vessel that he used to have a lot of wine in it. So when he's hungry for wine, he doesn't have wine, he would put this vessel into water and then the water would have the taste of wine. So this vessel becomes totally prohibited to a Jew. Can't even get benefit from it. Another item which we know, you know, is idolatry. Oros levuvin, a skin where they took something out of its heart. They pulled out some of its heart. And that certainly, you know, where they cut the area of the heart out of the skin, that means that was takrovas avodah zarah, that was an offering to avodah zarah. You can't get any benefit from that which was an offering to avodah zarah. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, he says it depends. If shakara, bizman shakara shalo agol, if that hole around the heart is a circle, usr, that means that it was an offering to Avodah Zarah. But mashuch, but if it was a stretch, if it was a lengthy, straight line gash, mutter, that means it's not for Avodah Zarah, and then you can take that skin. The skin is permitted. All right, basar anichnas la'avodas kochavim. Meat that went into one of their churches, and then the Jew bought the meat from the non-Jew before he actually offered it. Mutter, you're allowed to get benefit, even though the non-Jew slaughtered it. The non-Jew slaughtering doesn't make it prohibited. But vayotze, but if it's coming out of their church, aser, you can't get benefit from the meat. Because probably it was offered to the Avodah Zarah, and it's like the offerings to the dead. Divri Rabbi Akiva, it's the view of Rabbi Akiva. Yes. Aholchim letarpus. The people are going to a place of Avodah Zarah where they worship the Avodah Zarah. So once you see these guys traveling to their temple, you can't start doing business with them on their way, Because as we've seen before, first of all, maybe they're going to buy from you something that they're going to offer to Avodah Zarah, or maybe they're going to be happy with the business deal, and you're going to cause them to praise the Avodah Zarah more. However, Va'abayin, if they're coming back from their temple, then mutar, then you can do business with them, because they're not going to run back to go to the temple to thank their Avodah Zarah for a good deal. On their way there, they'll thank the Avodah Zarah, but not, they're not going to go back to do that. If there's a Jew watching and supervising it, it's done right.
A bracha and things like this.
The Jew can make the bracha.
But I know, but he has to do the pipe and the food.
Yeah, the Jew watches to supervise. We'll get to it in Chulin. Now, nudos, nodos, so of the kochavim kan kaneim. A node is like, it's a flask. So these different jugs and flasks that the non-Jews use for wine. Now, v'yayin shal Yisrael kanes behen, and the Jew put his wine in it. So the flasks are asurin. The flasks are prohibited because they've absorbed already the taste of the non-Jewish wine. V'yisura and yisurana. And their taste is going to go into now the Jewish wine. So that makes the Jewish wine prohibited, and prohibited with their prohibition of not getting any benefit from it. Divrei Rabbi Meir, the Tzivui Rabbi Meir. What's that? That could be the issue, right? Exactly. V'chacham say, Ein isuran isur hana. The prohibition is not a prohibition of getting any benefit. It's only a prohibition of drinking. Because he says that if the item itself is not here, it's just the taste of the item, it can be asr ba'achila, you can be prohibited from drinking, but not asr ba'na, a prohibition to get any benefit. Ha'chartzanim va'azagin shel ovdei kochavim. Let's say the peels of grapes, the seeds of grapes of the non-Jews, that they've already gotten the wine out of these things. Also asurin, they are as prohibited as the wine that they pushed out of these things. Yisuran, yisurana, and the prohibition is a prohibition of getting any benefit. Div Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir says. V'chacham say lachin, if they're moist, asurin, then you can't get any benefit from them. The yivashim, but if they've already dried out, mutarin, then you can even eat them, because once it's dried, it's no longer wine, it's just a piece of wood. Hamurias. Murias was a food that they would make out of the fat of fish. Ugvinas, base unaiki, and the cheese from this place, base unyaki. Shalov de kochavim, the non-Jews, asurin, are not allowed. The fish dish is not allowed because they would put in wine. And the cheese is not allowed because most of their calves were slaughtered for Avodah Zarah, so they put the cheese probably in the stomach of one of those slaughtered calves, so it's basically cheese coming from an offering of Avodah Zarah. Yisur and Yisur Anah, therefore you can't get any benefit from these things. Div Rabbi Meir, that's a view of Rabbi Meir. The Chacham say, no, any Yisur and Yisur Anah, there is no prohibition of getting benefit, but there's a prohibition only of eating. So when it comes to the fish dish, it's because the wine isn't in front of us, so it's just a taste. And in regards to the cheese, since the calves are a minority, there are other animals also, so therefore it's not necessarily a prohibition of Avodah Zarah.
What's the concern on the cheese, Rabbi?
That the cheese was prepared in the stomach of an Avodah Zarah cow that was offered to Avodah Zarah.
But that even an animal that's, well,
how do you make a cheese in the stomach?
We'll get to chulin. That's right. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Shal Rabbi Yishmael, it's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yeshua, Kishayi Malch Maderech, when they're once walking. Amar lo, he said to him, Yipnei Ma'asu Gvino Shalov Dekol Chavim. Why is it that there is a prohibition of cheese of the non-Jews? Amar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua said, Yipnei Shemamidin Osa B'keva Shal Nevela. They put the milk in the stomach of a non-kosher slaughtered animal. So therefore, it has the status of that non-kosher animal. Amar lo, Rabbi Shmuel asked him, "Valo kevas ola chamura mi kevas nevela." The stomach of a carbon ola would be much stricter than the stomach of a non-kosher animal. Nevertheless, yet our sages say, "Kohen shadaito yafa," Kohen who has a little bit of a toughness to his disposition, what he can do is sarfachaya. He can just swallow the milk the way it is without cooking it, and lo hodulo. The members of the yeshiva didn't agree with him. Avalama, but they said, "Einanin, you shouldn't get any benefit from the stomach of an ola. But if he did it, if he swallowed it, lo mualin, it wouldn't be considered mi'ila. And that was because whatever is inside the animal is not considered part of the body. It's considered something which is already detached from the body. So if so, if you have a stomach of an avela, there should be no reason to prohibit the milk that's in it. So Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua said, "Mipnei shemamidin osa bekevas egle ovodas kochavim." The reason why you can't have the cheese of non-Jews is because of the problems of idolatry. They give calves of theirs to their idols. They offer them. And then they use the stomachs of which are idolatrous. You can't get any benefit from it for the making of the cheese. Amar lo, Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yeshua, "Im kein, if so, lama lo asur ba'ana? Why isn't it prohibited in benefit also?" So he sealed the davar achri, distracted him to talk to him about something else. Amar lo, he said, "Yishmael, hey, chatzakori, how do you read the pasuk in Shira Shirim? Ki tovim do decha miyayin, or ki tovim do dayach miyayin? Is it to the male or to the female? Are your affections better than blood, or is it Klal Yisrael's affections better than wine?" Amar lo, Rabbi Yishmael said, "Ki tovim do dayach. Amar lo, ein adavar kein. It's not tovim do dayach, it's tovim do decha. Shareach kasa, chavir malamid olav." The next verse says, "The reach shmanecha tovim," to the smell of your oil. It doesn't say shmanayich, it says shmanecha, to the male, not to the female. So todecha is also to the male, not to the female. But he didn't answer the question about the cheese. We'll get to that in the Gemara.
Kosher cheese can be made in the stomach of
a kosher. Yes.
Because it's not milk and meat?
No.
It's not part of the animal.
Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha omer, Ratzak HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakas Es Yisrael, Afich HaChir B'Lem Torah, Mitzvah Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz L'Man Tzidko, Yagdil Teravi Adir. I'm going to go to the hospital.